got color in your cheeks. Welcome everyone to Sports with Carney. Started an hour and 6 minutes late. I apologize, filming a debate going on in Hopwood Hall, but that's not sports related, so we're not going to talk about it because this is a sports show. Joining me today, he's going to make his last appearance on Colonial Sports Center tonight at 9 p.m., so he's only going to be on for the first 15 minutes or so, is Ian Kist. Is his usual rant to end the show. We're actually going to start the show with it. Ian, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I love coming on and being able to rant and tell people what's on my mind.
Ian, what's on your mind this week?
All right. So, if you would have did a show last week, I had one I was going to do, but I can do it this week because it's a little twisted up a little bit, do a little different. But all the Pirates haters out there right now, where you at? Where you at? Because I'm not getting greedy at this point. They're 9-3. But it's funny that the haters are off of social media, appears. You get the occasional they stink or don't give money to nutting. But like the first game against Detroit, you know, the Pirates won 13-10 in extra innings. Of course, haters were like, they gave up 10 runs. The bullpen stinks. Blah, 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 blah. And it's funny because they put up 13 runs. The offense was there. But then the haters go, you beat Detroit. You beat Cincinnati. Cool. No one says that when the Steelers beat the Browns or the Bengals. No. And it's funny that even what angered me the most was social media. People were saying, oh, I've seen enough of them for the year. The game's in the seventh inning. The game, it's not over yet. Like, the game's not over yet. So what do you mean you're giving up the team? The first game of the season isn't even all over yet. Like, come on, people. Like, come on. And, like, my one friend, and I'm not going to mention his name just because, but Logan knows who he, I'm pretty sure, told me. He tweeted out saying that people rooting for your team to lose, home team to lose, just to lose, to prove a point, is, like, the lowest of lows in sports. And I agree with that. You know what I mean? Yeah, we don't always agree with this current ownership, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to the games. I am going to support this team. I'm going to go support the guys who are working their butts off, the young guys. They're putting the chip on their shoulder right now, and I love it. To me, it looks like they're playing. They are the happiest team. They are the happy-go-luckiest team right now in the majors. They're taking it day by day. They're having fun in the locker room. We've seen Polanco. He plays his Dominican music and runs up to somebody, and they start dancing.
Those videos are great.
It's hilarious.
Are the they are absolutely the best.
Today on the show, the post-game interview with Robbie Smikowski, he called out Navaroskis for being the worst dancer by far on the team, answering Robbie's question. I don't know who he said was the best, but Navaroskis was the worst. But, like, come on. And even though they're 9-3, Logan, the haters aren't still coming out because they know the only thing right now that I think that the haters can point out about this team right now is the bullpen. Middle relief guys. I think that is where you can say that the team is struggling because it's evident. They're struggling there, but we came in knowing that they would be struggling. Look at Polanco. It took him 56 games or so. Last year was like June 11th. He got 5 home runs. Well, he's at 5 home runs now. He just said he got bigger, he's stronger. So, yeah, don't count him. We were talking about earlier in a Snapchat message, Polanco may be the new face. And he can very well take that role over to be the new face of the organization. And I just find it funny that the haters are gone. until they lose, until they get the fight, if they ever are at 500 or fall below 500, the haters will come back. But I just find it funny that the haters are taking a back seat, even though they have one opportunity to bash the team in the bullpen. With the bullpen, but they're not because they know that 9-3 and it's not 9-3 that the team is squeaking by wins. Of course, there's going to be some close wins. They won nothing in Detroit. That's going to happen. But the fact that they won 6-1 today against the Cubs, I mean, the Cubs don't look great. I think they're 6-6 right now or something like that.
Six and six. So 3 games behind the Pirates.
The division's not great right now. Obviously, we knew that the Reds aren't going to be good because why would the Reds be good? But, yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, and I'm surprised the haters didn't say, because this was the true first test of the year. Going into Chicago, their opening series, and they beat them. They lost yesterday. Not a great game. And the games that they've lost, especially the Minnesota game, and especially last night, they weren't great. The losses they've had, they haven't been playing well defensively. They haven't been, they've blown leads in those games. They play sloppy baseball, but then they come back with a win every day, the three games they've lost. So, I mean, it's funny how the haters hide. They talk crap when they think.
Of course they hide.
They talk crap when they think it's going to be a bad season. Because right now, a lot of people thought the Pirates were going to be 3-9. You know, flip that around. A lot of people thought that would be their record right now, 12 games in. I thought it would be better. But, 9-3, I mean, they're proving people wrong right now. And it's just funny to see people hide. But these guys won't even come out. And it's funny that they won't even come out and be like, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Because the minute they start struggling and they fall behind, they fall below 500, or all of a sudden they're 9-6, they lose 3 straight, or something like that, you're going to see them again, because all they want to do is hate. They're never going to give this team any love.
Let me ask you, what do you have their record as? What'd you have their record preseason? After this hot start, are you changing your record? Are you sticking with it? Let me just ask you that.
I mean, I think I went between 77 and 80 wins. One of them I have 80 and 82, and whatever the math is, 77 and...
It would be 85.
85, something like that. I have them better than last year's 75 wins, I think, that they had last year, right? Mm-hmm. So I have them better. But if they can figure out this bullpen, if they can somehow get a nice starter, maybe do a little, maybe some, you know, the Huntington goes to work and... Or the bullpen just gets better with time. I mean, that's always an option. That's the cheapest way. This organization likes spending money.
That's the nutting preferable nutting way. It's the nutting way.
I think I see this team being consistent. I mean, the offense, I mean, I think they're really hungry. I think they're hitting. We Cervelli, 3-run shot today. Fraser, home run, 2 home runs by Polanco. I mean, the offense is there. I mean, and they hit home runs that went against, the wind wasn't in their favor the way they hit the – They hit the
wind was blowing in, and they hit two home runs.
And the game started at
3 home runs. I forgot Cervelli hit Cervelli four
home runs.
4 home runs.
2 Polanco, Cervelli, and Frazier.
Yeah. So the Pirates had 4 home runs today.
Yeah. And that game was amazing because it started out in the 70s and it finished in the 40s. Welcome to Chicago. you had your tank tops and flippy floppies on, and then you walked out regularly in a parka. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I think they can be a playoff team. I think they can be a wild card team. I mean, I think they can go over finish season over 500. But if I see this team staying hot offensively. The only thing that scares me, and knock on wood, I wouldn't have said it if I can't knock on wood, but hopefully they stay healthy.
Yeah,
I mean Polanco goes out with a nagging injury or something like that. Changes the cards, but for right now, this team's having fun. They're playing well.
Yeah, again, I don't want to keep you here long, because I know you got a big show tonight with your last show on CSC and everything, because Ian's graduating, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, the great Ian Kiss will not be here much longer. But Ian, you know, we're talk a little bit more about the Pirates, and we'll talk a little bit about the Penguins, and then I'll send you on your way. Now, the Pirates, you know, they're 9-3. We'll stick with them because they're not the biggest story in Pittsburgh right now, but we'll stick with them because that's what we've been talking about so far. You know, they're 9-3. You mentioned, you know, the bullpen is shaky. The bullpen's shaky. I mean, everyone with their right mind can see that the bullpen, it's not that
they're
great.
They're young.
Yeah, they're young.
Young and experienced.
Are there guys in this team that you think, in the bullpen, that you think can step up? If so, who? Or do you think that this bullpen needs to be total reworked? Like, we know some of our friends think that every pitcher needs to be redone. And in some cases, it is true with guys. I mean, I don't think Josh Smoker is going to be anywhere half decent. But, you know, there are other guys on this team that, you know, to me, look out that can be good quality, decent middle relief pitchers. Do you think that somebody can step up and maybe even be a good setup man, too, even step up there? Or do you not see much potential from this group?
I like George Contos.
Well, Contos is 36 years old, too. Yeah, I was referring to more of the – because obviously Contos and Rivera we can trust.
Yeah.
Vasquez.
Vasquez.
I'm gonna have to get used to that. Those two we can trust.
I know Kevin Segrist. I mean, I know there's a whole debacle with him, and he's suspended right now because he didn't report.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen him in the major league.
So maybe possibly if they can, he can figure out what he wants to, if he really wants it. I mean, I was intriguing to see what he was gonna bring. I think Glasnow stays in his role. I don't think we'll see him. I think we'll see him as an emergency starter. But I also like, and then when Musgrove comes on, Brault's going to be back in the pen. We may even see Cole in the pen if they rework their starters and see how it plays out. But in terms of, so you're talking about like a setup guy.
Do you think out of the guys, so Navaroskis, Feliz, Smoker.
I like Feliz.
I'm trying to think of the other relievers off the top of my head. But, you know, the guys like that, do you think that they can Edgar Santana. Yeah, do you think those guys can step up and become – any of them can become a setup guy? Or do you think there's a reliever in AAA that piques your interest that will step up this year?
I mean, one that comes to my mind is the setup guy right now is – is it Contos?
It's a mixture of Contos, a mixture of Feliz.
Besides Contos, they're young. I mean, Smoker's not age young per se, but he's
28, 29. Doesn't have that much major league experience.
He was pitching in the Frontier League a few years ago. Like, yeah, so he's young, but young MLB experience wise. But I think Feliz can be. I think he seems like a guy who could be a possibly setup guy towards the end of the year. If they need him in an emergency role, you know, someone's tired, George can't go. I think it depends how the season, if they're out of the playoffs by a certain month, if, you know, they're out of contention, which I think they're going to be in contention until September, and I think they have a chance to make the playoffs if everything stays the way it is now. So I like Feliz. I was skeptical about him, but I like what he did today. I mean, yeah, he had a 5-run lead. It's much better coming in the 8th and 9th inning when you have a 5-run lead than it is when you have a 1-run lead trying to hold it to get Vasquez in there. I said it. so yeah, I think it's. I think Feliz. I think we can definitely see him. I think if he builds Hurdle, I mean Hurdle. To me, Hurdle takes Hurdle. He has guts and he has trust in players. Especially the pitchers a lot. So I can see him maybe giving him some roles if he earns it. So, yeah, Feliz is the guy that I see possibly you can see him in the 8th inning trying to keep the game a safe situation for Vasquez.
So just one more question about the Pirates, and then we'll ask you one or two questions about the Penguins, depending on how much time we'll have left you. Now, the Pirates, you know, just sticking on this bullpen – you know, because that's obviously the issue with the Pirates right now. The rotation's been, you know, phenomenal. The lineup's been phenomenal. Lineup's one of the best. I could be wrong, but I think it might statistically be the best in the league. But, you know, looking at the numbers, they have 6 guys. Oh, not really counting Diaz. 5 of their consistent starters. You know, Colin Moran, Corey Dickerson, David Freese gets consistent playing time. Maybe not argue him, but then Josh Harrison, Josh Bell, all batting over 300.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Adam Frazier. Polanco's had a hot start, 5 home runs already, 15 RBIs, both tied for the major league lead. You know, the offense isn't an issue. So, again, sticking with the bullpen, though, which is the obvious issue of this team, you mentioned you like Feliz. Do you see that this bullpen can develop to kind of the 2013-2015 bullpens that we saw with the Shark Tank when they had, you know, Tony Watson, Mark Melancon, Jason Grilley, kind of game over the 7th if they're leading in the 7th inning? Or do you think that they need to go out and trade for someone? Do you think that they need to sign a free agent? Do you think that, you know, they're not going to find that elite bullpen end with the current group that they have?
I think these guys will shape up. I think, you know, like I said, with experience, they'll come in. But I think you may need to make a move. You may need to go out and see who's willing to give up a veteran guy, a younger veteran guy in a way, maybe not a veteran necessarily, somewhat cheap. You know, give him some minor leaguers to, you know, bring on. Obviously, they're not going to get anybody that has a crazy payroll because, you know, it's nutting. But, yeah, if they are legit contenders, I see them, you know, taking someone's contract, getting somebody, and then that person, you know, signing with a different team in the offseason, kind of just like the season you referenced when they went out and they made all these, you know, they got Monroe, Morneau, they got Bird, something like that, but for the pitchers, yeah, I definitely see them going on maybe making some moves if they're legit contenders. But if you get to July and August and it's up in the air, no, they're not going to go out and get anybody because it's nutting. Huntington would want to and Hurdle would want to, but no. But, yeah, I definitely see. I think they're going to rely on this bullpen until you're going to see Josh Smoker, you're going to see Feliz, you're going to see Santana, you're going to see Navarrozquez, you're going to see Contos, you're going to see Glasnow, and you're probably going to see Broder Cool in there at some point as well. One little leader. I mean, Melanson became their leader, gave him a name, the Shark Tank. I think you need someone to step up, give him a unique name, give him something to play for, something to fight for. And, you know, you said a central theme like that. People react to stuff like that. You know, make them think they're sharks and they're out to set and they're out to do something. I think that's key.
All right. And then we're going to just touch on the Penguins here. Now, the Penguins won yesterday 7-0. They absolutely dominated from both sides.
24 block shots, too.
Yeah, phenomenal game.
All around great performance.
Phenomenal game from everyone. Where do you see the series going from here on out? And how far do you think this team can go in the playoffs? You think they're going to three-peat? Are you calling the three-peat? What's your prediction for this series, too?
Well, I think they sweep, which would be incredible because that would be 8 straight games against them this season, the Flyers this season. Maybe a fifth game, but last night made me think that it was going to be 4 games. I see them in the Cup Finals. I don't know. I mean, they play like they played last night. Obviously, you're not going to do that against, you know, Washington and Boston, unless they have complete bad seasons or bad series. But there's nothing on this team that tells me they can't. I think goaltending-wise, if something happens to Murray, I think I have faith in Casey DeSmith. It's not going to be the same. Like, you had the two-headed monster in goal last season when, all right, Murray got hurt in the first game of because he got hurt in that Blue Jacket series, first game in warm-ups. All right, cool. Fleury, you're in. No worries. Yeah, why would you be worried if Fleury's in? I think this team can legit make a run. If it's Nashville, that team's good. That team's real good. And I think they're going to – if it's a repeat, I think it's going with the same series as last year in the finals. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think that Nashville maybe will – hoist the Stanley Cup in the end and go dance at Lord Stanley's Cup. But I can definitely see the Penguins making the Cup Finals. They may have a run-in with Boston, and they may – Boston's good. I mean, Boston's gritty. They always play us decently. So I think they could very well be eliminated by Boston. But nothing to me seems that this team, if they play well, they play consistent, and they play hungry, yeah, we're going to be hoisting it for a third straight year.
Who do you think, going forwards, outside of Crosby, outside of Malkin, we're not going to let you pick an easy one, is the most important player on this team going? We even throw Kessel out. You can't say Kessel. All right, I'm taking out the big three for the Penguins. You can't say any of them. Outside of those three, who is the most important player from the Penguins going forward and why?
Matt Murray.
And why?
Because I think there's other players on this team. I think, Gensel, and some other young guys when you have Letang, I think the Penguins are going to score goals. And I mean, you're going to have, two-headed monster and Crosby and Malkin, but I think it comes down to Murray's mindset. I think he psychs himself out at times, which I think any goalie can. I mean, I think Fleury had that, his woes in the playoffs stem from that. But I think if he's been playing well, but they know the go glove side on him, and he'll whiff on it. And that's how you score past Murray. And I think he just mind over matter. And I think he's the most important part. Because, again, you don't have Fleury to come bail you out if you fall behind. You have Casey DeSmith. I like Casey DeSmith. I think he's good. But I don't trust him in all situations. Why would I? He's never been in the playoffs before. I don't know why anybody would have complete trust in him. So I think it's key for Murray to go out, and I think it's him to keep his health the way he is, because it can be ugly. Because if he has to go out, you have Jari, which I like, but then you have the Smith. You have two guys with limited playoff experience. So I think it comes down to Murray's play.
And now you mentioned a couple teams that you're worried about. Last question I have for you. You mentioned a couple teams that, you know, you're worried about. Pick one. Tell me why you think that if the Penguins were to lose in the playoffs, it would be to this team.
I mentioned Boston, but I'm going to Washington too. I mean, if it comes down to us two, because I'm assuming Washington's going to move on against Columbus and the Pens are going to move on against Philadelphia. I just think it's going to be – we're not going to lose three straight years in the second round to Pittsburgh. And I think Ovechkin, I think he just takes over, and I think he's going to be better against us than he has been, than we've seen him be. I mean, last year they took us to seven games. Seven games. And when a series goes seven games, anything can happen. I mean, you've seen each other plenty of times in the regular season. Already seen each other six times in the playoffs. You know what you're going to bring. Seventh games are coin flips. It can go either way because you both proven you can get to the seventh game. And, you know, if it goes six, seven games, it's going to be scary because I think Washington's going to play. We're not losing again. We're going on to the Eastern Conference Finals. We're not losing again to this team. And I think Washington can very well. But if Washington blanks, then I think the Pens are going to run all over them. But I definitely – not run over them, probably six games. But, I can see just the hungriness of the Washington Capitals being the Penguins' dynamite, kryptonite.
All right. Well, thank you, Ian, for joining us on the show. You know, I just want to say, you know, thank you for being, you know, kind of the assistant editor for me this entire year and kind of showing me the ropes. Good luck in the rest of your life. This is probably the rest of your life. This is probably the last show we have. And, you know, Everyone out there, be sure to check out Colonial Sports Center at 9 o'clock, immediately following this show, actually. It's 9:30, I should say. I'm on the show a lot. I don't know why I didn't know the time. I do that all the time. But 9:30, be sure to check it out. Ian is going to be hosting it with Sam Anthony. The old original duo back to, well, not the original, but one of the dynamic duo back together hosts Colonial Sports Center. Be sure to check out Ian. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, it's a pleasure, but
before I send you out, did you know that the Allegheny County is hiring lifeguards ages 16 and older for its pools in Boyce North, Settlers Cabin, and South Parks? Earn $11 to $13 per hour plus bonuses, and don't miss your chance to make great money this summer as an Allegheny County lifeguard. For details, go to AlleghenyCounty.us/lifeguard. That's AlleghenyCounty.us/lifeguard. Allegheny County Parks, always inspiring, fun. Coming up on 8:30 on the show here, we're going to get back into talking the Pirates a little bit. Of course, we're going to talk about the Penguins because we got to talk about the best team in the city right now. And the fact is they go for their three-peat, which I think they'll get. I'm calling it. I'm calling the three-peat. I think they're an unstoppable team. You'll find out why coming up later. And then, of course, we'll also have the Pittsburgh Steelers, because we can't go any week without there being drama. Since there wasn't a show last week, we got to talk about the consistent drama that's been going on with, you know, Le'Veon Bell and that whole contract situation. Just, is he worth it? So don't worry, we've got all that coming up. We'll be there in a couple seconds. Just listen to the great sounds of the Arctic Monkeys for a little bit, and we'll be right back. The goods. Been wondering if your heart's still open and if so. So I wanna know what time it should simmer down and poker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp. I've tried been to kiss you, I don't know if you feel the same as I do. But we could be together if you wanted to. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways? I have to see you go. Was sort of hoping that you'd stay. Back here on Sports with Carney with your host Logan Carney. Be sure to check out, you know, Ian Colonial Sports Center tonight at 9:30. I'm sure it'd be a great show that I'm looking forward to attending. A lot of former Army alumni coming back to see, as it's always the last show this semester, something that's always done on RMU's, by probably their best show up here, or our best show up here, you know, I'm on it consistently, so of course it is. Just saying. But moving on, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Pirates. You know, they had a big, big win today. They're now 9-3. They won 2 against the Cubs, 2 out of 3 against the Cubs. Should have won game 2, too, with the bullpen. Unfortunately, blew up. Looking at you, Tyler Glasnow. But we're just going to move on from that, and we're going to talk about, you know, what's going right for this team. Now, the offense is phenomenal. Phenomenal right now. It's one of the best in baseball. Cal Moran, .343 batting average, .425 on base percentage, .486 slugging. Corey Dickerson, .341 batting average, .386 on base percentage, .610 slugging. David Freese in his limited appearances, .333 batting average. Josh Harrison, .313 batting average, .370 on base percentage, .417 slugging. Josh Bell, you know, somebody that was counting on to be the star this year, .304 at batting average, .389 on base percentage, .435 slugging. Gregory Polanco, 5 home runs, 15 RBIs, both major league leads right now. Adam Frazier, .292 batting average. We go down the list, Jordy Mercer, .256 the breakout average, Cervelli, decent. You know, Marte, though, that's something he's going to need to pick up. You know, the rest, but here's the thing. Now, we all know the offense is not going to play like this the whole year. You know, you're not going to have Colin Moran finish the year batting .343. You know, Corey Dickerson, as good as a player as he is going to bat .341 at the end of the year. He's not Andrew McCutchen. Josh Harrison, he can bat around .300, maybe, possibly. But I don't see it. But that doesn't mean the offense isn't bad. And the offense is it's decent. There's a lot of players on this team to like. And when I said at the beginning of the year, my prediction was 78 wins, and I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with 78 wins because I don't believe in that you should change something in the first month when it comes to baseball. I believe that you can't judge a team fully till after May. I think after May is when you can judge how a team is going to do well and accurately. I think there's a lot of hot starts in April, a lot of bad starts in April. Like, the Cubs aren't going to finish 82-82, and that's what they're on pace for. Or, I'm sorry, 81-81. Cubs aren't going to do that because they're the Cubs. You know, a good question point on, I believe it was Colin Dunlap tweeted out. I could be wrong. It was one of those fan guys tweeted out, you know, how many people in the Pirates would start for the Cubs? And you look at the two rosters, I can think of maybe two. Marte would start in center over Alberto Mora. Mora's a good prospect, but he's not Marte. Even with Marte, struggles with his .234 batting average right now, because you know Marte, well, hopefully he picks that up. And Polanco, with his hot start right now, would be starting in right field. I know who it is. I mean, is it Jason Hayward still? I don't even know off the top of my head. If it was Ian Happ, maybe not over Ian Happ. Ian Happ's a good player. But, you know, you look at it, they're not a better team than them, and that's reality. They're probably still going to finish behind them in the division, but do I care? No, because I predicted them 78 wins. They finish 78 wins, I'll be happy, because that's what I predicted them, because that's where I think the direction is. What this start does do to me, though, it does give me hope for the future, which is something that if you listen to, you know, my radio shows before, I have a bunch of them, so I'm sure you've had, if you've listened to this one, if you've seen me on TV on Sports Talk in the Berg when we debate this stuff, I said that the reason I was upset with the Pirates offseason is not because the team is bad now, because they're not. They're an average team, in my opinion. They're painfully average. It's because I didn't have hope for the future. Now I do. Now I look at these guys. I look at guys like Colin Moran, who's acquired, you know, in the Garrett Cole trade. Sorry, he was the Garrett Cole trade. And I look at him, I'm like, he could be a very good player. Very good player. I don't think he'd be a star, but I think he'd be a player. Polanco looks like he's finally going to break out. Remember, there are people saying that he would be better than Barry Bonds. Will that happen? Probably not. But if he can tap into that potential for the rest of his career, he can be the star that the Pirates need. You know, Josh Bell, I love Josh Bell. He's the first minor league player that I followed from his drafting to all the way until he was called up to the majors. Somebody, you know, my buddy Dan Harmon, giving him a shout out, bought me a jersey, custom made jersey of Josh Bell, because they didn't sell Josh Bell jersey at the time. My girlfriend got me tickets. Alexis Finn got me tickets to Josh Bell's first home run, where I called it in the grand slam in Josh Bell's jersey. That was awesome, to say the least. And, you know, these type of things, you know, Josh Bell's a player I love. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player. I think he's going to be, you know, the next star for the Pirates, but it could be Polanco. And the fact that we're having this discussion that there's two players that can end up being that star guy to lead the team gives me hope. The rotation, jeez, that rotation looks insane. The rotation looks amazing. You know, James Italian, phenomenal pitcher. He's been pitching great so far. He had the one-hit shutout the other night. The 9-inning shutout. You know, I'm going to look in the future rotation. I'm not looking just at this year's rotation. I think the future rotation is going to look Taillon, 1. Keller, 2. All right? Mitch Keller, 2, their top prospect. I think he's getting called up this year. This is going to be 2019's opening day rotation. I think he's going to be called up in midseason this year. I truly believe that. Number 3, this is going to shake some heads. Tyler Glasnow. I think he's going to be in the rotation at midseason. I think he's going to figure things out. I don't know if he'll be the ace that we all thought he would, you know, when he dominates AAA, but I think he'll definitely be a pitcher that, you know, would be one of the, you know, top number 3 pitchers in the league. I think he'd definitely be that. Going forward, Trevor Williams. I've always liked Trevor Williams. They didn't get him. They got him for Jim Benedict, a pitching guru. And he has been phenomenal since they got him. He was phenomenal in the second half of last year down the stretch. And this year he's only given up, what, 3 runs all year? 2 runs all year? He's only given up a handful of runs. I can count how many runs he has on my right hand. I can even count how many runs he has on my left hand. And I'm not a lefty. You know, that's a little amount of runs he have. It's phenomenal that and he's been pitching so well. And then Joe Musgrove is going to be the 5th starter. I think he's a decent player. I think he's a decent pitcher. I don't think he'll be somebody that, you know, you can count to lead a rotation. I don't think he'll be more than a 4 or 5 starter, but I think he'll be a very good, very serviceable number 5 starter. Somebody to eat innings to the back end. You know, give the bullpen a rest. You know, somebody that you won't put in your playoff rotation, but you would, but a playoff team would have them in their regular season rotation. So that rotation looks deadly. The bullpen, that's the issue. Me and Ian talked about it before the show. Michael Feliz, I think he can develop into a good reliever. Maybe a decent setup man. I don't think he could be the shutout, you know, pitcher that Melanson was whenever he was here as the setup man for Grilly, or even Tony Watson was whenever he was a setup man for Melanson in 2014 and 2015. I think, you know, looking at, I like Kyle Crick in AAA, the guy that they got for Andrew McCutchen. I think he's someone that could also in the future can be counted on. I like Nevraskis, and I know that's going to be crazy, given the fact that, you know, his numbers are not great at all. 11.57 ERA so far through 4 2/3 innings pitched. He's given up 6 runs in 4 2/3 innings pitched. Not good at all. But I think he can be a decent middle reliever, somebody that could get you to the 8th inning guy, the 7th inning guy. Edgar Santana, same thing. Josh Smoker, get rid of him. I don't like him. He's gone. I think he's a bad pitcher. I would have liked them to have gone with Kevin Segrist instead of Smoker for that left-handed role, because Segrist has playoff experience. Segrist is still 28, and Segrist has, you know, 2 years of control. You know, Smoker, I don't fully know much about him, other than I get cringy every time he steps to the mound. But that's, you know, looking at it, you know, those are the guys that I think, you know, you got. Glasnow, I think, is going to be a great reliever. You know, Stephen Brault, I think, will be good in the great in the bullpen. I think Chad Cole will be great in the bullpen as well. I think those two guys are made for the bullpen. And that's how I think that's why I think the team, you know, maybe not this year. I still have them at 78 wins. I'm not moving that needle yet. After May, talk to me after May. We'll see how I move it. But the Pirates give me hope. This team gives me hope. And that's the most of what I can say. And I'm glad that I can say that. This team gives me hope. I like the young guys. Moving on, though, as we get into the 42nd minute of the 8 o'clock hour. A little bit behind on the show, you know, 30 seconds, 36 minutes in, as we started, you know, an hour, 6 minutes late because of a election or a debate going on at Robert Morris that I volunteered to help film. Moving on, we're going to talk about the Penguins, because you can't not talk about the Penguins right now. The Penguins, you know, they won yesterday 7-0. Phenomenal game. Sidney Crosby, my hat's off to you for the hat trick. You played great once again. Jake Guentzel, 3 assists in the game. You know, Dumoulin, 2 assists. Hagelin, assist and a goal. Derek Brassard, assist. Patrick Hornquist, assist. Chris Letang, assist. Evgeny Malkin, a goal. Brian Rust, a goal. Justin Schultz, assist. Riley Sheehan, assist. Connor Sheary, assist. The whole team played phenomenal. 24 shots on Matt Murray, 24 saves. It's one of those games where they didn't even give up a garbage goal. That's how good this team was playing. That's why they're going to sweep the Flyers. And I know everybody in Pittsburgh is saying it, but, you know, honestly, they're going to sweep the Flyers. Flyers don't stand a chance. They don't. The Flyers, you know, they're a team that, you know, in the future, maybe they scare me a little bit. But right now, at this point, with this Pittsburgh Penguins team, no way, Jose. You know, to be honest, you know, I look at you know, this team. I look at the teams that they're facing in the playoffs. I am not worried at all. I'm not worried at all about this team. All right, I mean, they're not going to lose. I don't think there's a team that could beat, you know, hockey. When it comes to hockey, individuals don't win you championships as much as, you know, football, where basically, you know, the best quarterback in the league can get you there, you know, or basketball, where you have, you know, 2 of the top players in the league, you're guaranteed there. I mean, look at that. It's so predictable. Hockey is the most team sport out there. I mean, baseball, you can make the argument too, but that's why they're all so unpredictable. That's why they're so lovable. You know, but this year, Penguins are three-peating. You know, Ian talked about, you know, the Capitals. You know, he thinks the Capitals can beat them. I don't think they can. I mean, they choke. There's just nothing to explain it. The Capitals are one of those teams, you know, that they can get there and they do it. They're the Atlanta Braves of hockey. And yes, the Atlanta Braves did win one world championship in the 14 years that they won the division in a row. Phenomenal stretch.
But what do you have to show for it? Just one. You know, the Washington Capitals, they're a team that, you know, they make it all the time, but they just can't do it. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes it comes down to coaching. Sometimes it comes down to players. Sometimes it comes down to injuries. You know, Capitals experience all of those as issues to the problem. But, you know, that's why I don't think the Capitals just – the reality is I don't think the Capitals have it. You look at some of the other teams you mentioned, the Bruins – I can see the Blue Jackets do worry me if they get it, if they rematch in the finals. The Blue Jackets worry me because the Blue Jackets do have that well balanced team. The Blue Jackets have that well balanced team. Their stadium, it's whatever you want to believe. It's not easy to play in. Looking at more when it comes to it, you know, they won't reach in the finals, but I don't know why I said that. They would face the next round, if you know, or a couple of rounds. They're a well-balanced team that I can think may be able to, and I know that might not be the pick that everyone is going with, but, you know, there's a reason that they had a great series the last time they faced. When it comes to it, you know, Nashville, if they rematch in the finals, that is a team, you know, that can, you know, beat the Penguins. Nashville is a difficult place to win at. It is by no means easy to win at. They got, you know, some great players, you know, PK Subban, one of the best defensemen in the league by far, is up there. You know, the Nashville, they're a team that, you know, they're one of the, you know, powerhouses in the league. You know, they're a team that, you know, if they can do it, you know, they can do it. And each year, you know, they've gotten progressively better in the playoffs. So I don't think you notice. Lost in the first round in 2014, 2015. Next year, lost in the second round. Year after that, Stanley Cup Finals, where they lost to the Penguins. So they're a team that I think can do it. Same into that whole, you know, the Penguins, Red Wings past the dynasty thing that happened a while ago, you know, 10 years ago when the Penguins faced the Red Wings for the second time and, you know, the torch was passed to the Penguins to become, you know, the next dynasty. That can happen with Nashville. We look at, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights, a team that I think realistically, you know, their team that, you know, I said beginning of the year they're going to be good because reality is it doesn't take expansion teams usually that long to figure things out. I mean, the first season to have the best record, that's unheard of. You know, but they have great players. They have great players, James Neal, Carlson, Fleury. I mean, they have great players. They're a team that, you know, that if they get there, they can worry. But they don't have the star power that the Penguins do. And I think that's the downside. I think that's when the Penguins, you know, really push it over with Malkin, Crosby, Kessel, you know, those guys. You got Murray and Nett, who has been phenomenal the past two playoffs. You have arguably the best coach in the NHL, who, if he wins the Stanley Cup this year, I think he's the best coach. I think he's the best Pittsburgh coach in history. I think he's better than Noel, personally. And then Mike Sullivan. I know that might not sit with people well, but, and people may be like, well, he has Crosby and Malkin. You know, he didn't draft and develop those guys like Chuck Noll did. Yeah, but well, how did Bylsma do with them? Bylsma won one. You know, Sullivan's been able to figure out, you know, the team before Sullivan, they were like the Washington Capitals after they won that first cup up until the Sullivan years, is that they choked, all right? I don't want to hear about these injuries. I don't want to hear anything. The reality is you couldn't make it to the Stanley Cup with the two best players in hockey and one of the best goaltenders in hockey, and you couldn't do it. You know, and I think it came down to coaching. I think it came down to preparedness. You know, I read articles about how players, you know, including Crosby and Malkin, wouldn't even go to, you know, to optional practices in the playoffs, where I think you should go to every practice in the playoffs, optional or not. Now that doesn't happen. because Sullivan's that much better of a coach. And that's why Sullivan, if he wins a three-peat, three titles in 3 years, in his first 3 years, I don't care who's on his roster. Do that in hockey, you're the best coach in Pittsburgh history. Chuck Knoll, close second. You know, a couple Pirate managers out there, Cowher, Tomlin, great coaches, you know. But that's how it works. You know, moving on, we only got about 9 minutes left in the show. So it's a good time to, you know, remind you that the Allegheny County is hiring lifeguards ages 16 and older for its pools in Boyce, North, Settlers Cabin, and South Parks. Earn $11 to $13 per hour plus bonuses. Don't miss your chance to make great money this summer as an Allegheny County lifeguard. For details, go to alleghenycounty.us/lifeguard. Once again, that's alleghenycounty.us/lifeguard. As Allegheny Parks, always inspiring fun. Let's move in the last 9 minutes of the show here. On Sports with Carney, we got a little bit. We're going to end with some talk that's really been bugging me. And this is a topic that it's dividing in Pittsburgh. It's really dividing. Divisive. That's the word I'm looking for. Divisive. Sorry. Not having a co-host for 40 minutes. It makes me, it dries your mouth out, to say the least. But the show is, there's a very divisive issue. And that is the Le'Veon Bell contract situation. Now, the Pirates, or the Steelers, my apologies, said the other two Pittsburgh teams first. Ooh. But they cannot afford to pay Le'Veon Bell this money. Yes, he's worth this. Yes, he is. But the problem is, there is a cap. There is a salary cap, all right, out there. If this was MLB, he'd be getting $40 million. He'd be the first $400 million player. Because, yes, he is worth that. But with a salary cap, unfortunately, he is not. The salary cap got raised. I am of the belief that athletes should make more money. And I know this is something that's really, I'm in the extremely small minority here. But reality is, athletes should make more money because owners make a lot of money off of them. Because communities make a lot of money off of them. We talk in the sport management class. If the athletes go on strike, all right, let's just take a look at how much sport it benefits society. And I know you're going to be like, well, yeah, cops and, you know, nurses and all that. Yes, they are. They are. But unfortunately, it's a lot harder to become an NFL player than it is to become a cop. Unfortunately, that's how it is. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's right. But that's how it is. Because the NFL, there's 32 teams. There's 53 players on a roster. You got practice squads. Yeah. You know? And it's incredibly difficult. It's incredibly difficult to do it, let alone become a star. You know, and then they only play, you know, 16 games. Those practice squad guys can't live off the money they make as much as people like to believe. But reality is, you know, and they should make more money. They should. So Le'Veon Bell, yes, I agree with you if there wasn't a salary cap. But there is a salary cap. And I know, and I'm a proponent of, you know, saying that there should be salary caps across everything. Looking at you, MLB, where's your salary cap? But yeah, for the NFL, it should be higher. It should be higher. And I don't know why, and nobody's talking about that. I know it's going up a little bit this year, but there's no reason that baseball should have a higher luxury tax than you do. When baseball is paying 25 guys, you're paying 53. And you're a much more profitable sport in 16 weeks than baseball is all summer. You're much bigger a business. You have much bigger stars. There's no reason that a player like Jason Wirth should make more money than Tom Brady. There's no reason, as much as it pains me to say, that a guy like Andrew McCutchen should get more money than a guy like Peyton Manning did in his career. You know, it's just absurd that that is the case. And, you know, looking at it is, you know, here's the thing. Why athletes, they should make more money. I was going to talk about this. I got sidetracked for a second. But let's look at how much industry is based around sports, all right? So let's say athletes go on strike. Let's say the athletes decide, we don't make enough. We're going to go on strike, all right? Now, let's see how many different kinds of people we could put into the open market. Athletes obviously go into the open market, but, you know, the top ones will be fine because they make enough money. But what about the minor leaguers? You know, what about those AAA baseball players? You know, we'll use baseball as an example. What about the AAA baseball players? The guys that make $40,000 a year, $10,000, $8,000, not enough to live on. Guys that have second jobs. Guess what? They just entered the workforce. And a lot of them don't have a college degree. A lot of them came from high school. All right, so now we got that. What about the coaches? What about all the coaching staffs? You know, they just enter the workforce. Where are they going to go? There's not a lot of positions for coaches out there. There's no need for coaches if the leagues are on strike. All right, what next? What about all the journalists that are covering the sport? All the journalists covering the sport, gone. You know, who needs them? ESPN's going to put more layoffs out there. They're going to fire more people. Baseball goes out. So it goes to the journalists, and those journalists don't make that much. Sure, they may be able to lash on more to a local guy, but what local place is going to be hiring a sports journalist if there's no sport? Now, here's where it starts to get a little bit, you know, you didn't think about this. Because to be honest, I didn't really think about this much either. What about the stadium workers, the concessions, grounds crew, ushers, vendors, you know, attendants, people that park cars, security? What about all those guys? Because most of them don't have college degrees. A lot of them, you know, some of them are high school dropouts. You know, some of them are students trying to pay off debt. What about them? And those are people that already have a tough time finding a job. And now they're in the workforce. Now there's more in the workforce. All of a sudden, that is a large thing that just jumped up. What about the companies that sponsor sport? And that they're going to be losing money. And that might lead to layoffs. You know, companies like Nike and stuff like that won't be effective. But what about a local pizza place that sponsors? You know, that's maybe sponsor the Pirates. You know, because they do have that. What about stuff like that? You know, they might have to fire people because they're going to be losing business. So that's how it is. You know, reality-wise, that's how it is. And that's kind of why, you know, Bell is right, that he should make the money that he is. Because he does deserve that. But the problem is, and then we get to the big issue, is that there is this thing called salary cap, and he doesn't deserve it with the salary cap there. And I'm not saying you should get rid of it, because I don't. I don't think at all that you should get rid of it. I don't. Should you raise it since every team can afford it to be raised? Yes. Yes, you can. Significantly. Not the little bit that you have been. Bell will leave in free agency next year, whatever, whenever the CEO decides to stop franchise tagging. By the way, he's making $14 million, which is about $8 million more than next paid running back, but who's counting? And then the team will move on. And he will probably get his money. It won't be with the Steelers. Steelers will have $40 million locked up into Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger next year. They have an offensive line where all of them are getting paid high. They have, you know, big contracts locked into a couple defensive players. And yet they have major holes in the roster. They can't afford to be doing this with Bell. When your biggest issues are at cornerback, safety, middle linebacker now. You can't afford to be paying $20 million a year to a guy in running back when you already have $40 million locked into two other players for next year. You can't do it. Who was the Patriots made back? They had a committee. They went to the Super Bowl. Eagles committee went to the Super Bowl. You can get there without Bell. I am tired of this notion that they can't win without Bell. And my one buddy, a good friend, sports editor, when we had this argument on Twitter, said, you know, there's so many things you're wrong because there's so many things that goes in other offense. Okay. Well, isn't that the reason why you shouldn't lock somebody up for that much money? Isn't that the reason why you shouldn't sign somebody for that much money? Because there are so many other things, because you have to put money in everywhere, because you can't afford to pay three guys $60 million. Look, you know, the Steelers will be fine without Bell. They would. You don't have to pay them that much money. Well, I'm getting a little bit heated here. We're just gonna take a little calm down for a second. But I'd like to thank you all, you know, for joining me in the show this year. Award-winning show, the IBS Awards. Still waiting on that trophy, though. Said it should be coming this week. Well, it's Thursday night. It hasn't come yet. Maybe we should call again. Another email that they won't respond to. But, hey. I still won. My name's still on the website. Whatever. Didn't win. Came fifth place or third or fourth or something. But, you know, finalist. It's pretty cool. thank you all for joining me this year. And supporting me throughout my time for Robin Morris. I don't know if there will be an episode next week or not. I'm kind of taking this week by week at this point with finals and everything coming up. But if there is one next week, I'll be sure to let you guys know. Be sure to tune in. It would hopefully be at 7 p.m. Hopefully. Hopefully we don't start at 8. Hopefully we start on time, too. We don't start at like 7:06 or something like that, because that's usually what happens with the show. But thank you all for joining me. What could be my last show this semester. Be sure to check out, once again, Colonial Sports Center at 9:30. Keep saying that wrong. And also, once again, you know, Allegheny County is hiring lifeguards ages 16 and older for its pools in Boyce, North, Settlers Cabin, and South Parks. You could earn $11 to $13 per hour plus bonuses. Don't miss your chance to make great money this summer as an Allegheny County lifeguard. For details, go to AlleghenyCounty.us/lifeguard. That's AlleghenyCounty.us/lifeguard. Allegheny County Parks, always inspiring fun. Quick word from our sponsor, and that's the end of the show. So thank you all for joining me again this year. We'll let the Arctic Monkeys play you out. We'll see you maybe next week or maybe next year. Good night, everyone. Been wondering if your heart's still open, and if so, I wanna know what time it should simmer down and poker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp. I've tried and to kiss you, I don't know if you feel the same as I do. Together.